Good morning. It is good to see all of you out here. Some of you I haven't seen for a while, and so I'm thrilled to see you, and welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us through live stream. So one thing you may not know about Hal and I, perhaps you think we talk about everything that happens at church all the time. We don't. We try not to. But just the important stuff. So sometimes we surprise each other in worship by when one of us does the children's time, one of us preaches, and it's sort of like, oh, that's exactly what I was thinking of. And so thank you, Hal, for setting up the sermon. And if you get bored in mine, just remember his. And so we work together that way. Our text today comes from the first letter to the Corinthians. Paul is writing to a very young church made up of Jews and Gentiles and rich and poor, people of all classes, and they are working to get along together. What a surprise that a church is having to work to get along, like any other group of people. Our text is quite short because I kind of picked it out of a longer conversation that Paul is having with the church in this letter. He is addressing the church, I don't know if you'd call it a fight, but discussion over whether it is spiritually harmful to eat meat that has been sacrificed to idols when you visit someone's house, a friend's house. The meat that had been sacrificed for idols was special. It was sold in the marketplace. And sometimes, you know, as you went as a new Christian to your pagan friend's house, you used to practice and worship those gods. Now you worship the God revealed in Jesus the Christ. But should you eat this meat that's been offered as a prayer, as a sacrifice to an idol that you do not believe is a real God, is a false God? So there was a lot of discussion about this. And so Paul actually bypasses the whole tussle by saying, your knowledge that this meat won't hurt you, and he's talking specifically to wealthier Gentile Christians, says, your knowledge that this meat won't hurt you because the idols are false gods and you worship the one God, true God, revealed in Jesus the Christ, is correct. And it's not the point. The point is, will your practices influence those who have been Christ followers a shorter time than you and lead them back into pagan practices? And will your practice of eating this meat, does it stir up such rumble in the community that the community is disrupted? How will your superior knowledge affect and shape the community? That's what Paul is asking them and saying to them. The beloved community and its unity and spiritual nourishment is more important than any special spiritual knowledge that they might have about this meat. We are all called to love the one God, the real God, revealed in the love of Jesus the Christ, says Paul. So out of that discussion, there are three brief sentences that I want us to, or verses I want us to consider today. So from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds people up. If anyone thinks they know something, they don't yet know as much as they should know. But if someone loves God, then they are known by God. Knowledge makes people arrogant, but love builds people up. If someone loves God, then they are known by God. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Do you think that you love God? Do you love God? What does it mean to love God? Do you believe, understand that you are known by God? I ask you these questions because I myself wrestle with them. And I want to share some of my wrestling, my pondering with you today. We've been talking about Gareth Higgins' book, and we were with him at Ring Lake Ranch, and we're working on it, and we'll be working on it again in the adult forum next week. The piece of Gareth Higgins' book, How Not to Be Afraid, Seven Ways to Live When Everything Seems Terrifying, the piece that stunned me and took my breath away comes from a chapter in the book titled The Fear of Being Alone. After telling a childhood story of being lost on a bike ride with his dad in the midst of Belfast and not knowing literally which turn to make on a roundabout to find his father and feeling quite alone, Gareth writes, "True knowing is a two-way street between us and the divine, or higher power, or universe, or God, or whatever may be the best synonym for love." Love, with the capital L that Hal was talking about. The way to overcome fear, Gareth continues, the fear of being alone, is to find friendship with God and with yourself. Knowing isn't as valuable or life-giving as being known. Being known is not something to be achieved, but experienced. Is Gareth echoing Paul here, knowingly or unknowingly? Paul wrote, "If anyone thinks they know something, they don't yet know as much as they should. But if someone loves God, then they are known by God." Knowing is something we seek to achieve. And well, we should in many circumstances, so if anybody is a student out there, keep doing your homework. Being known, however, loving, that is to be experienced, isn't it? Well, I will confess to you that I like to know things. I don't want to feel stupid. I like to know things. I even strive to know things. I have strived to be well-educated, to know stuff. I strive to create the best sermons and programming possible to help individuals and church communities on their journeys to being God's kingdom on earth. I strive to know God so I can share God. However, I had to ask myself, as I read Gareth's words, have I ever known that I am known? Particularly known by God? Are some of you out there in the pews or watching at home, are some of you strivers along with me? Do you strive to know things in life, to know God? Perhaps you are better at this than I am. you're better at being with God, accepting that God knows and loves you, accepting that you love God. But there's something about this that I still grasp to understand. Like Gareth's words about being known is an experience far greater than knowing, and Paul's words, if someone loves God, they are known by God. These words of Gareth and Paul speak to me in such a deep place that I almost can't articulate what I'm sensing or feeling. I desired to know God. And it seems that really my desire is to be known by God. And this desire brings me to the question, a question which may seem quite odd given the fact that I have been in the Christian church literally all my life, baptized at 10, working in full-time ministry for over 20 years. If I desire to be known by God, then how do I love God? I love my family. I love my friends. I love my husband. I love my dog. I love my church. I know the choices I make because of all this loving. I can feel these loves tangibly inside of me. I love these things without a lot of striving because they are tangible in my life and because they love me back. But how do I love the mystery that is God? How do I know that I am loving God? How do I do it right so God can know me? And you see, because you're chuckling, that I am back to the striving for knowledge, for achievement, for excellence. I can think and ponder my way into and around this desire to be known by God, to dwell in God's love until I have worn myself out. And warn you out as well. If anyone thinks they know something, they don't yet know as much as they should know. That would be me. But if someone loves God, says Paul, then they are known by God. Being known by God is about loving. Being in the loves with a capital L of this world that are real and tangible, being in the love that is God that may not be as tangible at first. Paul knew that the wisdom of the Hebrew scriptures commanded us to love God and neighbor and self. And when I say neighbor, I include all of creation, all its animals and inanimate beings, as well as humanity, as our neighbors. God, neighbors, and self, these three things are the very substance of life. And when we intentionally dwell in loving with them, we dwell in love, capital L, in the divine, the holy, and are somehow, beyond our knowing, known. We are known by God. To be known by God is a mystery. It is also a given, and it is not something we can strive to achieve. It is a relationship experience. It is there. It is dwelling in love. Gareth reminds us that being known by God is not knowledge, but experience. And he writes, and it can be experienced right now through a practice that is often known, that is often called prayer. but it's accessible to everyone, no matter your tradition or belief, because any practice that unfolds love to you can be considered prayer. He continues, prayer is not a chore, not something on my daily list of things to do. Prayer is one way to community. Prayer literally remembers us into the experience of not being alone. If we are known by God, we are not alone. I was recently given a poem by a friend in a contemplative writing group that I'm in, by a contemporary poet. This poem is by a contemporary poet that I did not know yet. His name is Alfred K. Lamott. He lives up in Seattle, Seattle area, teaches world religions, comes out of the Quaker tradition. Sometimes poems speak to us when they're contradictions and their images in ways that help us know, even if it's not a literal definition of knowing. Like Paul's words and like Garrett's words, this poet's words just struck me to the core. Fred, as his publisher referred to him when I wrote for permission to share this poem, titled his poem, Gospel. And remember that gospel literally means, in New Testament Greek, good news. Now, there is one line that gave me pause in this poem. That line is when he writes, there is no bad news. How can he write that? I have definitely received news that seemed bad, very bad. And I know you have as well. But keep listening to the end of the poem. The next few lines will juxtapose that line with meaning that invites us into surrender, the surrender of prayer and being known by God. So as I close today, I invite us all into this place of surrender in relationship to God and to being known, this loving relationship, even if just for a moment, in the midst of this poem. Gospel by Alfred K. Lamott. Nothing is wrong. You have never not been free. This is the good news. Every photon of your flesh is the boundless sky. This is the good news. You lost yourself in the shadow of beauty so that beauty might find you again. There is no bad news. Healing comes from a heartbroken place where you have breathed out everything you carried. Stay there. The next breath is God's love. May it be so. Amen.